Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and also extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and sitting across from me we have...
Hello, filthy animals. It's Ben Vanell. And sitting to our left and right, respectively, we have...
Adam Knox is my name. It was opposite of respectively.
Disrespectively?
It was when Tommy first and you, so it'd be... Right and left, respectively.
Yeah.
Well, the listeners don't know that. I would have been
Start
more than
again.
Happy.
a clear lack of respect over there. That is clear.
The Dangerfield corner.
Would it have affected your performance to know for an hour that we'd lied to the listeners straight off the bat?
I'd have had to turn around to make it true. No, that wouldn't have helped. I'd have had to walk over the other side of the room. Yeah. And I'm not doing that.
We should all record like standing up so we can pace around and stuff.
Mm. It makes it worse, I think.
When have you done it?
When I used to do radio stuff.
Oh.
You can stand up. Well, like I worked with people who would stand up and talk.
Right.
And it makes you fidgety and anxious.
Okay.
I've been a stander when I've recorded in radio studios. I love it.
It varies from person to person, but it's not for me.
I see, because I work in like sports radio now. Yeah. A lot of the commentators are standing up when they're commentating.
Mm.
It looks fun.
If you're commentating, that's probably the right thing to do because you need the energy for that.
Yeah.
But if you're doing like breakfast radio, you're kind of like, ah, hey, what's going on? Palling around.
Yeah.
You don't want to be having the attitude of like, look, this is me sitting currently talking like this, and I won't do anything stupid.
Okay.
I won't alter my voice or anything, but let's see if my general demeanor changes.
Okay.
When I stand up.
Well, I noticed one thing.
All right, what did you notice?
You see, I don't like
but
this.
But now there's a weird power dynamic because you're literally looking down on us instead of just figuratively, like usually. But you need to, in breakfast radio, you need to be standing so you've got that mobility so that when your co-host says something absolutely outrageous, you know, you can audibly back away. It's like, oh, that's.
Whoa!
That
Tommy,
radio.
Don't have a go at breakfast radio like that, fossil.
They don't do breakfast radio.
No, Sam Newman's not up at that age. That age, at that time in the morning.
He's certainly not up anymore.
Not at that
is
age.
He?
No.
Talking about his dick.
Should plug our live show, which is coming up July the 14th at the European Beer Cafe, 4 p.m.
Yes.
Of a Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be wonderful, wonderful fun.
Yes,
and I think pretty good shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't you reckon?
100%.
I'd like everyone in unison as they walk out to just turn to each other and go, good shit.
Yeah, okay.
That was good shit.
Yeah.
How about that good shit?
Someone on Twitter asked, is it really at 4 p.m.? I think having after already bought the tickets.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, why?
This must be some kind of joke.
Afternoon show, like a matinee. Mm. I guess people could, I could see why you would think that was a mistype.
Right.
But no, it's 4.
Yeah.
But
it's
actually
nice to have it at 4 because then you can hang around afterwards. And
Have some dinner, have some drinks.
Afternoon show, very common in podcast world.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's a medium that doesn't yet have the confidence to go up against people's mainline Saturday night plans.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you were planning on having dinner anyway, just come to the show and it won't ruin anything.
You can't make a night of the thing that you might listen to on the way to the thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the level of like it's a medium that exists best on like public transport.
Mm.
So you can't make that showy, too showy, but we will.
Yeah, we actually are planning to make it a show rather than, just literally us sitting around talking.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to sing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Yes.
So that's 4 minutes taken care of, and we haven't really thought beyond that.
12 minutes for my rendition.
Oh,
really?
A really long solo, like a Mariah Carey solo.
Yeah.
Do you do some scatting in there?
It's normal pace, but I break for 8 minutes in the middle.
Should we try standing up at the live show?
Ooh,
we'll have to at some point.
I guess, to come
not an accessible venue, unfortunately.
Mm. Yes, true.
I would like to get down those stairs and then not even walk onto the stage.
Mm.
I'd like to wheel myself out onto the stage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or just be on rollerblades and be like
in kind of like a crouch position.
Right.
Serve drinks throughout from a little tray that you're skating around.
Oh, yeah. Like a little monkey, little chimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is going to be a hell of a show.
That thing from cartoons where there's like an old guy with like an organ thing and a monkey like banging the cymbals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that real? Is that a thing that's ever happened in the real world?
I believe it is, yes.
It surely
must have.
Seems
too good to be true.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's one of the few good things in life.
Do you think it ever made it to Australia? I don't reckon it's ever happened in this country.
Mm. I think that's a fair bet.
I feel like I've seen some kind of ape at a at a circus in my time.
Oh, okay.
Apes or monkeys. I feel like they used to be the circuses here, so luckily they're not anymore.
Yes.
Thankfully they had all of those chimps put down, which was the correct thing to do.
Yeah, what's if you go to like the Ringling Brothers now,
yep.
What are they doing? Are they still, you know, monkeying it up?
They're just like holding one finger up on one hand and then banging their hands together and the finger changes hand.
Oh, very nice.
Is what I believe happens.
Yeah, just someone's uncle comes out and pulls out a $2 coin from behind the ear of every child in the audience.
You guys ever seen a lion? This is my impression. That's all we can do anymore. I hope I don't flip out.
But don't you think like if they're still... They must just not be able to do it anymore because, like, if there were circuses...
There's
like,
no animals.
...with animals left, there would be, like, all these, like, you know, super progressive parents that would go down with their children and
it's
be like,
illegal.
Now kids on three, boo!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There is it illegal?
It's illegal in Australia, yeah.
Right.
Like, non-progressive police there going, like, you can't.
Yeah. So you think now progressive cops would be the ones who love animal cruelty?
Yeah, because eventually if you go too far, you come back around the other end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Uh-huh.
Is that why they call it a ringmaster? Because it's a ring?
Yes, it is.
And a master.
Uh-huh. That's why they call it a ringmaster.
Thank you,
because
Daddy.
Because if you go too far, you come round the other end. And they thought, well, ringmaster it is.
He's mastered it.
Yeah.
He's back to the start. There's nothing left to learn.
Lord of the Rings. Also something.
Ringo Starr. I remember being a kid, of course, and going to the zoo with animals in it and not getting it. And being like, this rules.
What do you
and
mean
then,
not get? Oh, right.
And then,
I think you meant not getting where they're at. Like, where do fucking animals come from?
But
I don't understand.
My parents taking me to Circus Oz, which is like a thing that, like, if from early days has been
the circus version of
like,
the TV show Oz.
Yes. It's like all these, like, French quintuplets, like, fucking stabbing each other in jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's been around for years and years and years in Australia, and it's no animals, and just going with my parents and being like, God, this is the lamest shit of all time.
Yeah.
Like, you know when you're just like, I don't care about the rules. I don't care about what's right.
Sure.
I just want to see a fucking goddamn dolphin being stuffed into a car.
I remember booing horses at a circus because I was like, those are regular animals. Boo. They were just riding around the side of the ring while the Gremlins theme song played.
Wow.
They're like, look at that. Horses are pretty wacky, huh? Like, no, horses are normal. They're the most...
Horses are not normal.
They're the most standard animal. Like, dog is above.
Yes, dog is the standard.
Dog, cat, horse. Bird underneath.
I think sparrow is above horse.
No, because horses are functional in human society.
What about cow?
Cows are normal, but they're sequestered into certain areas. But horses, I still have the thing in my head of they might ride down the street because they fucking do in Melbourne.
Yeah,
still.
The police.
So,
I think they
the
should.
Tourists.
Yeah, the carriages.
No,
I hate horses.
Oh, they're awful.
Horses should be sequestered.
They should be free out in the bush.
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Brumbies.
and be allowed to, you know, or a ranch, not necessarily free.
Yeah.
But medium prison, like capitalism provides for all of us.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I find weird when you're with someone over the age of, like, let's say 15, and you're in a car driving through the country and someone goes, look at those cows.
Yes.
Who, like, yeah, we've all seen cows. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all see cows all of the time.
I did that 2 weeks ago.
I do it every time I see a cow.
Because it's still like, oh, fuck yeah, a cow.
Yeah. I like cows. I hate horses. I like cows.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I'm not a fan of horses either. My girlfriend loves horses.
Mm-hmm.
Big horse girl.
Yeah,
is what I call her. But no, she's really into horses. She grew up in like a horse area in England.
Right.
I think they're the scariest animal.
Yes, agreed.
They seem to be dumb and like easy, like they flip easily.
Yeah, yes. They do. I think they do.
Can we talk about Ben being very drunk and hanging out with you and your girlfriend and just repeatedly saying to your girlfriend, wow, you're tall.
I felt so stupid because it's like she is tall. She must get it a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I think she's the like funniest thing.
Just under 6 foot.
Right.
And
right.
You was a 4'8" man.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's very easy to believe that Ben goes, wow, a cow.
I love it. You're tall. I love it so much because I think it's like that's been in my head like most times I've hung out with your girlfriend. I'm like, right. Don't verbalize it.
Right.
Don't say it out loud. Yeah. And then this motherfucker over here gets a couple tins in him. Oh, You're tall.
It's like when you have a friend and someone comes up and goes like, what's with the foot? And everyone's right. Like, we know about the right. Foot. Right. But don't say, not that the tall thing. She looks great at that
she's
height.
She's got to look at the 6 foot.
Yeah. You know who's tall? Every model in the world.
Yeah, right. True.
Yeah.
She looks great at that height. So...
Yeah, if she was like, shorter, she'd look fucked. No, I don't know.
If she lost an inch, she'd be like, ew.
It's one of those, she's in proportion correctly. So yeah. It's not you're like, right, you yes, know, when you yeah. See yeah. Someone, you're like, you're gangly.
Oh, yeah, she's not like a tall, skinny weirdo.
No, not she, like a Slender Man type situation.
Correct. If you saw a photo of her with nothing else for scale and no other context,
yes.
You'd look at it and go, she could be... She could be anything.
Yeah,
she could be
talking about anything.
No, but you know, some people it's like
I never
really...
look at a photo of something on a white background and go, I know exactly the height of that object.
I reckon if you saw a photo of me with no context, you'd go like 5'6".
But do we have like your shoes as context and shit? Because I feel like even people's clothes, even though they're sized for them, can still look the height that they are. Do you know what I mean?
I think that I think that my clothes the clothes of someone who should be taller.
Yeah, well, because they've got Wiggles logos all over them.
I'm the same.
The clothes of a short man.
I'm a size 12 shoe, which right. Is like weird because I'm, you know, 13 foot tall.
A size 12
tall.
Person you? As well. Yeah. Fuck, I love being tall.
It must be like, is it great?
Dude, do you know how often really I spit great? On the top of people's heads and they never know?
Yeah, at least once a week when I come around here.
You'd know it'd hit your skin.
I'm fired at that. Oh, we've finally become the Little Dum Dum Club.
The ringmaster is in town.
I would love to be tall for like a day.
Yeah, it's the same.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think anybody gives a shit about it unless they're not tall. If you're like anyone who's tall doesn't give a shit if someone's short.
Right.
I just think like I know there's people that think I'm pretty intolerable, but like I just think like imagine if I was tall. Like I'd be so much worse.
Yeah.
You don't automatically turn into a dick if you're tall. Like you're bullied.
Disagree.
Listen, you fucking cunt.
Based on the evidence we have.
Wow, you're tall. That's so good. Okay, so we must talk about some news from the week.
From the world of video games.
From the world of video gaming.
Yes.
Have you had any new languages this week?
I was going to look it up in French before, but it got too late.
Okay. Your phone automatically turns off at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Well, the last 12 minutes were just really critical stuff, so couldn't have done it then.
No, I'm not going to do it as well. Because there's a whole bunch of bloody... Well, there's not a whole bunch of news, but there's a couple of things.
There's a couple of very interesting
Ben,
stories.
You roved a report earlier.
Yes. So moments before we gathered together to do this podcast, I saw a story that is, pretty big. PUBG are suing Fortnite. They're suing Epic Games for copyright breach, which is a big deal because Fortnite Battle Royale is now massive. It's, what, as big as PUBG, if not bigger?
Fortnite is huge.
Yeah.
It's like, it's way bigger. I think it's like bigger than any game.
Right.
It's bizarre big.
Yes. And the article that I read stated that they thought about suing them in September, brought it up in January, and now it's sort of come to light. They're suing them through the Korean court system.
Great.
I guess the way it was phrased was sort of like, we're doing this to see if there is a copyright breach, like to see if we can prove it, not necessarily like, we know we've got you. We want the money.
This is like when everyone online got mad at the fat Jew for stealing other people's memes.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm an aggregator. Like, they're just like, we just took this thing and we just gave it to more people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird though, because like, I feel like the precedent has already been set in video games that they shouldn't win this case.
Right.
Because if if they won, that means like, oh, well, Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat shouldn't exist at the same time.
Right, right. It's, the team deathmatch has to belong to like Unreal or whoever invented it.
Like they've kind of invented a genre, which cool. Mm-hmm. And this guy in particular was like the main dude who made it was like one of the early people who made a mod for something. And it was,
Player unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I knew his name.
You never will. Hopefully the lawsuit uncovers his name.
I think his name is Ben. Oh, okay. As well, actually, but so,
cool guy.
It's that I think it would be bad if they won. As much as I do think Fortnite literally ripped them off,
it
just sucks for them. But I don't think there's anything legally they should be able to do about it because it's not an infringement in the way that like they haven't made Mocky Mouse, you know, and he's like Mickey Mouse but blue.
It's a
riff on the same idea.
Yeah, God, that would be so.
And fuck, it's similar though.
Yeah.
And it's dog shit what they've done and that they've gotten away with it.
Yes.
But it is different in the way that it plays as well. It's much quicker. It's got the building elements. It's
It looks like it's significantly different in the style. Yeah.
It's just that this thing exists as a genre now and oh well.
Yeah.
God, that would be so good if they won and then just the floodgates pour open and like Miyamoto just going after every character that jumps in any video game.
Well, that's what it would be, right? Like, it would be that.
It'd be, fuck you, Super Meat Boy. Mario's the only one.
Yep. Yeah.
It'd be awful.
Yeah.
There'd be 12 video games, and that would suck.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
Or at least double that.
It is unfortunate if you're the PUBG people, but that's just how things work. Like, there's a thing about the Strokes, about how... Like, maybe I've said this on the show before, but how you don't want to be the person who opens the door because, like, the Strokes, like, all the bands that were influenced by them became a lot bigger than them.
Right.
And, like, if you're, like...
Is that, like, the Killers and the Hives?
Yeah.
Who is that? Yeah.
The Killers, mate. The Killers predominantly. But, like, if you open the door, you're working it out and you're dealing with an industry that kind of doesn't know what to do with you and you're literally breaking this ground.
Yeah.
Whereas then the very next band that comes along gets to look at what you've done and go, oh, cool, that's how you do it and that's how to kind of, like, capitalize on it and not implode and not kind of like fuck up your early opportunities.
Right.
So, but it'll come around, right? Because where the same thing will happen to Fortnite where someone will just take their blueprint now and like add their own thing onto it.
Well, Call of Duty's trying to do that. Yeah, and exactly. I think before it, like even more likely than that is this will flash out.
Right.
Yes. Fizzle away.
Totally.
Yeah.
In the same manner that all things like this do. But it you know, you can't hold an idea like that forever.
Yeah.
It's just not. And also like that, yeah. The reason it's not PUBG is because that thing was very poorly optimized. It was kind of inaccessible. Like, you're right. That Fortnite came along and went, oh, well, the problems with this in terms of mainstream appeal are this and this and this.
Yeah.
Let's fix that.
PUBG was literally early access. It probably was early access longer than it's been out officially now.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
It's been around for like a year and a bit.
Right.
And it's been out since last September, December. I don't remember, but end of last year.
So it was a garage band for a long time.
And Fortnite's still technically not out yet.
Right.
I think.
Well, it's a free add-on, the Battle Royale.
I don't remember. I still haven't played it. I watched some footage of it the other day.
Right.
Because I bought a laptop.
Why was this
off the top of the show?
It hasn't shown up yet, so I wasn't going to talk about it because I haven't actually used it yet.
Right.
I just left it at the shop is what I mean. It hasn't shown up yet.
Sure.
But I bought a laptop because like I need to get one because there's a bunch of stuff like work things I want to be able to do mobile.
Yep.
And so a good video card affects that.
Yep.
I found the one like gaming laptop that didn't look like an alien piece of shit.
Yes.
And oh God, they're all so red and awful looking.
Yes.
This one has some red on it still, but it's a tasteful amount.
Okay. Do you feel comfortable saying the brand?
It's a Dell.
Ooh, baby.
Laptop, which is a Mac. Adele, the singer.
Oh, so you feel confident enough saying that?
Skyfall!
You feel confident enough to say on record that Adele definitely has a Mac?
100%.
Interesting.
Are you kidding me?
If anyone can verify this, please
let us
know. Of
course Adele has a Mac.
There's got to be studio footage, behind the scenes, you know, recording stuff.
Dude, have you ever seen a PC? That guy's a fucking dorky nerd with glasses on.
But a Mac
is a cool Justin Long type.
Okay.
I smell another one of our classic polls coming up. Is Rip Torn alive or dead? Is Aladdin good or bad? Does Adele own a Mac or a PC?
Yes.
Oh, 100% a Mac.
Blueberries Blue was also in there.
We've been on a real tear lately.
Yeah.
It's a Dell Inspiron and then a bunch of numbers.
Right. Okay.
But the keyboard looks good to type on and the video card is good enough to do vids. So, yeah. And anyway, it'll be able to play games quite well. And I was looking up videos of other people using the same laptop to run stuff.
Oh, cool. Right.
And it seems good. And anyway, Fortnite was one of them. And fuck, it is similar to PUBG.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's aimed at a younger market too, which has fucking paid off.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fortnite seems to have a bit of that, like, kind of a bit like groovier character design yes. going on, which yeah. I don't think yeah. looks particularly good to my taste. But I can certainly see how you would look at that and be a bit more like a, you know, find it a bit more appealing. Yeah.
It's like Overwatch and then cranked up even more
yes,
into the.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
It's just more accessible looking.
They look like
I think.
The Incredibles, all of the characters.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What I think about this lawsuit is that it's just like a power move to be like, I came up with this first. I'm not going to win this suit.
Is this your closing statement?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
But I genuinely think it's like just a being like, I came up with this game first. Now you've got all this money. I just want it on record that I think that I came up with it.
And yeah, yeah.
From their point of view, whether they win or not, it's the right thing to do because if you need to challenge every potential copyright infringement that there is. That's why so many, like people get mad about Nintendo in particular shutting down all of those like we remade Metroid 2 and all of that sort of stuff.
Yep.
But they have to do that because if they don't challenge things that infringe their copyright all of the time, they lose it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. Like I'm not a copyright lawyer. And you'd think that would make me not talk about this. But,
I sense another closing statement here.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, what's up?
You have played a lawyer, a bumbling lawyer.
Oh, yeah. A bad lawyer.
Yes.
But yeah, it probably won't pan out, but they're right to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I think? I think we got to go to Korea and cover this trial.
Oh.
The trial of the century.
Oh, okay.
That would be so sick, turning up thinking like...
We hear about
gallery.
The news in Korea.
Thinking like the... like. Thinking that the press gallery is going to be absolutely swamped. And it's just like literally, it's like the most boring, like two people in a room and then us like...
Just reading out patents, basically.
Tell you what, I think I'm right about this as well.
Oh,
fuck.
I might have the number wrong. Fortnite doing like a big sort of year of competition. They laid out like, here's what our competitive shit's going to be for the year and all like the big kind of arena, massive esports stuff. $100 million combined prize pool.
Wow.
Which is fucking wild.
Yeah.
That's you take it back to like when Counter-Strike was massive and it's like, they want a keyboard.
Yeah.
And now it's like, they want an island.
They want it. Yeah, fuck.
And we're going to put 100 of them on it.
Yeah, shit.
Is that why you got the laptop so you can like get really good at it and go in for that cool 100 mil?
Dude, I'm the cool runnings of this game. And my laptop's going to be running cool because it is a powerful beast, baby.
Dell, I hate give it. Us some money.
But the fan on that thing is fucking loud, dude. Yeah.
I think it's quite quiet. On all the videos, they show you how many decibels and play a little bit of it.
I tell you what, when it comes to cooling fans, the videos always lie. They're always loud.
Well, no, these are just reviewers. These aren't like the company.
I'm telling you.
These are people who have no reason to lie.
I think I'm right, and I have, like you, no basis for thinking that.
It's impossible to tell from a video what the actual noise will be because you can adjust the volume of the video. It's much like seeing somebody standing against a blank wall. You cannot tell the height or volume of them.
That's
something I said before. You know what I love? Anytime like a new console launches and there's that like difficult kind of like month-long teething period of like all these problems out of the box that the maker did not intend, and just like the Reddit or any message board is just like full of like people in America going, "You're having trouble with your fans being real loud?"
Yeah. Because
I think my PS is about to take off.
Oh, I'll tell you a legitimate fucking grievance along those lines that I had this week.
Can you do it in that accent?
I went back and played some of that dang old day. We were talking about that dang old day of Call of Duty there.
Yes, we were, boy.
I went back, I dug out that old Xbox Full Circle, and I played Call of Duty 4, and I was like, this is the one I liked. I'm going to go back to it like Papa used to make. My mama wasn't around when I was growing up. So I put it in, and I'd done enough Bing searches that I had 10 free dollars on the Xbox.
Oh!
You can do this rewards program thing where you just search stuff on Bing.
Wow.
And if you go on there and hit semicolon, enter, a second semicolon, enter 40 times, you get some points, and at the end of the month, you got $10.
Wow.
I thought you said Bing searches. Like, this is a story Close about enough. You dumpster diving and finding $10 worth of coins, like, out the back of Coles in all the rubbish. Guys, this great story that kind of involves video games, I guess, because yeah. I did feel like I was on a quest.
So, but I had that $10 and I was playing Call of Duty 4 and it was still good. And I was like, I never bought the map pack for this.
Right.
I'm going to buy that. It's $10. I have 10 free bucks. Let's dive in.
Yes.
And if you have that, you can't match with people who don't have it. And
people
on this 10-year-old, 11-year-old game don't have it now because they just have the old thing. So I couldn't fucking get it. So I had to go and delete it.
Oh,
so it was just 10 fucking wasted free dollars.
Wow. Oh,
so it's like I got zero free dollars.
Yeah, from all that work you did.
I hit that semicolon button so many times.
This is like
anyway, Call of Duty 4 is still good.
This is like an Aesop fable.
Yeah, it is. And then I fucked a turtle.
That's not one of the fables.
That happens. I came very quickly.
Anyway, we're gonna be in Korea. That's gonna be sick.
Yeah, yeah. Looking forward to that. Love kimchi.
Mm. Mm. Is that where kimchi's from?
Yeah,
I actually never knew that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a Korean dish.
Don't they traditionally like bury the cabbage to ferment it?
No idea.
I think they do.
Okay.
I think I've turned a corner on kimchi.
Really?
I think I used to like it, and I think I hate it now.
What?
I did something the other day. I was like, yeah. I think I'm off this.
That's what happens when you get older.
Mm.
You start getting less tolerant of kimchi.
Oh, no.
Now, for anyone listening, I did some air quotes there.
I didn't even know Kim was chi.
Oh, my God. Other news, a trailer for Battlefield V or 5?
We decided on V last week, I think.
Yeah, right. Well, because we haven't heard anyone in the know say it out loud, I guess. But Trevor Noah hosted like a 30-minute long.
He's in the Noah.
Oh, my God.
Two in a row, boys.
Oh, that's sick, dude. I'm loving this.
Yes.
Dude, go for the hat trick, you fuck.
Your hat sucks.
They only...
You're tall.
Shame to miss it on the third. They had some reveal thing and played a trailer for it kind of aping gameplay, but I think not real gameplay, sort of. But it's World War II.
Yep.
And the trailer featured a whole bunch of stuff that was more Battlefield looking than World War II looking.
Yeah, yes.
Because Battlefield has always been, in reality, a kids playing in the backyard with sticks simulator.
Yes.
It's never been trying to kind of emulate war, to my mind, properly.
Battlefield 1942 was probably the closest
But had people like jumping on wings and riding around.
Yeah.
And, like, it was silly. It's always been silly in the way that you play it.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, maybe it's been sort of toeing the line there. And I think in terms of their marketing materials.
Yeah.
You can't begrudge people for jumping on wings.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney, it's good shit, dude.
Are we going to take every word and just give it its other meaning?
Certainly seems that way.
That's what podcasts are. It's taken us too long to get to this point.
I feel like, you know, in 10 years' time, people will look back on this as the episode where we really found our groove.
I agree.
Groove, sort of like the thing on a record instead of the thing. Oh, that is what you... That is finding the groove. That is literally what
he can't
that
do
phrase
it.
Is referencing.
He can't do it.
That's why he hates it, because he can't do it.
Yes.
All right, groove. It only means one thing.
You picked the wrong word.
Anyway.
Wait until it comes up naturally.
No. So the video has a lot of people jumping out of windows.
Yep.
A woman in the front lines, which...
Interesting you mentioned that. I don't think that's going to come up again in discussion.
I mean, nobody brought it up in the comment sections of these videos, so it is weird for me to say. She's got like a prosthetic arm.
Yes.
Which... So people are going fucking... Or some people are going fucking nuts about like, it's not historically accurate. We care about that now.
Yeah.
And it's a smokescreen.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Whether it's a conscious smokescreen or not, I don't think people are literally going, I'm going to lie about the problem I have with this.
Yes, I'm going to say for the past 3 or 4 years, anytime anyone brings up historical accuracy as an issue with a pop culture product, it is a smokescreen for being racist.
Sexist. I'm going to talk about it with Detroit later.
Yeah.
In the reverse way.
There have been reverse cases that are applicable and fair, but...
Yeah, racism towards white people, for example. Reverse racism is the worst thing that's happened. Anyway, there's like 50 thorns in your side if you care about historical accuracy with the Battlefield games.
Yes.
And then the thorn that people start crying about is when there's a woman holding a gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems from someone who is looking at this from kind of not in that group.
But you're right. I think with those...
Because I couldn't care about the history. I would be more interested in a sort of alternate version of World War II, which it kind of seems like they're doing.
Right.
But you're right. Like with those people, I don't think they're conscious of it. It's like the people that go, I'm not a racist, but like it's not like they're aware, like going, this first bit will throw them off the scent till I can get to the real racist shit that I know I'm about to say. It's like in their head with their justification, it's like, well, I can't be because my mailman's Asian. So how could I possibly be?
Sure, or because I'm not an evil person.
Yeah.
No one thinks they're an evil person.
Very few people and in most the world are truly evil in the way that they think, like, I am evil and I'm doing this.
You
like,
can. I think we've mentioned this on this preachy fucking podcast before, us bloody libtards. But we, like, you can exhibit things that are prejudicial without having a deliberate mental I do not like this subsect of people thing in your head, which I feel like is part of it at the very least. And the second part is it's fucking boring to be like that. I don't like
totally.
So they're making it ridiculous. Like I don't think it's disrespectful to anyone who fought in World War II. Like if you think it's disrespectful, then the very making of the game is disrespectful.
Absolutely. Making it a fun game challenge is the disrespectful
ass
part.
Wasting your days by firing up over Reddit is disrespectful to the people who've fought in the war.
Why have we suddenly started talking about me?
Why you keep spitting on the top of my head? My shiny, shiny head.
But yeah, I just don't think that it matters. And I think it's an argument about marketing, which I think is also very fucking pointless and silly because the game won't be any different. If it is literally what they showed happening, it's no different from any of the Battlefield games they put out. And so you're arguing about the way that it's being presented to you through marketing, which is a fucking lame ass way to live. Like it's you shouldn't give a shit about marketing.
And the whole point is to be inclusive to women and probably to have a bunch of female skins for the multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
And if you have more of a problem with that historical inaccuracy than you do appreciation of the positives, then you are wrong.
I remember seeing a thing that, like, not that you need to, a lot of people, like, suddenly understand feminism and stuff like that when they're like, oh, suddenly I had a daughter and now I get it.
Right.
But I just saw a comment thing that was in the middle of all this stuff of like, oh, boy, is this game the same as all the other ones?
Right.
And this person was like, hey, my daughter is, like, four. She played her first video game with me on the weekend. It was great. But she asked, why can't I play as a girl? And I didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's not a complicated thing and it doesn't fucking impact anything. Like, if you don't want to play as a woman, fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just go for it. But, like, it's such a boring conversation to have of, like, no, it was only men at the front. And then people going, like, well, actually, there were these, like, small divisions where they did have this thing and in Russia this happened.
Yeah, totally. Like, the French Resistance had... Like, there are so many examples of...
But even bigger than that, doesn't matter.
Yes.
You know, who cares? It's disrespectful to what they fought for to not try and be inclusive.
Yes.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
This is going to get
gonna
us...
get elected.
Oh, boy.
This Sorry, is going to get us a minimum of one really bad iTunes review. At least one.
Yes.
And that person is listening to this right now and they're like, fucking God damn it.
Yeah.
How can I get these guys back for this fucking rot that they're spewing?
Yeah. To
one
be clear...
star.
We don't
one
hate
star,
gamers.
More stars than any general ever got who was a woman. That's historical fact, maybe.
Do you think now when you're a company that like puts out a trailer like this that you're braced for this? Or do you
absolutely.
Think they're still genuinely caught off guard by it?
You're braced. You got to be braced. Yeah.
They had some statements pretty quickly of like, hey, this is why we're doing this.
Yep.
Just an official letterhead. Shut up and get over it in like size 36 font.
Yeah.
Just like there was so many automatic weapons in Battlefield 1. And again, it's not the point, but they technically existed then, but they didn't really in any of the fights.
Yeah.
And no one ever like nothing that happens in these games ever. But anyway.
Yeah. I think it's worth saying, like, I know we sound angry when we talk about this or aggressive or condescending, but it's like we're not. We're frustrated that there's such a huge outcry, and it is huge.
I'm embarrassed more than anything.
Yeah.
It's not anger, it's embarrassment and boredom.
Yeah.
Because it sucks to have to justify all this stuff all the time because there's so many people who I can't necessarily say wrongly have this view of video games being this toxic, masculine bullshit thing.
Yep.
And there's heaps of reasons to come to that conclusion.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I don't like having to justify that to people.
Yes. And it sucks when you talk to people who aren't into games, that you do a games podcast or that you play games and you sort of see sometimes like a bit of them go, ugh, because they're thinking of that, because that side of it is like so loud and so noisy that it's like, you know, everyone that listens to this show is like really cool and like really chill. Everyone that we've met after shows that have come to like events that we've done have been like super cool, super easygoing, but then there just is this like the video, that Battlefield video has like the ratio of like upvotes to downvotes is like nearly, is nearly like,
I think
50,
it's
50.
More. I think it's more negative now.
Than Jesus Christ! Like,
but it's just silly ultimately as well. Like, it doesn't matter, and I don't know.
I think I like.
Or
that
it does matter. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter that the things that you're saying are negative about it, I don't think matters.
Yeah, I think that it's good. I will always have the conversation and always talk about it, and especially on this podcast, which has like a lot of listeners, and on our socials, I will always keep having this conversation though. Yep. And I'd rather, if someone doesn't agree with what we're saying right now, send us an email. Like, don't give us a 1-star review. Send us an email. I will gladly talk to you about it.
Yeah,
you know, like it's,
totally.
It's, I think it's important to have that dialogue.
And some people have in the past and been like, hey, here's a side of it. And it's like, cool. Well, we don't agree.
Yep.
But cool, thanks for being rational and cool about it.
And absolutely.
We mean that, or at least I mean that thing definitely, that like, I'm not saying that you're a bad fucking person or like throwing anyone under a bus if you see that and that's your reaction. But it's important to think about why you might be having that reaction.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, if you come to the conclusion that like, I guess I started having a problem with it when that woman ran into frame.
Yeah.
Think about whether that's because there weren't soldiers then and you're a history buff or because it says something about, you know, your view of what masculinity is or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think the trailer looks cool though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that they show a type of grass that I know for a fact they don't have in that region.
I'm completely on board.
Which is why I'm sending a car bomb to the developer's building.
Yeah. Agreed.
I think it looks the same as the others, but I have enjoyed the others and I hope this one's good. They've also said that they are taking out any loot box type stuff and there won't be a season pass. It'll just be free maps.
Yep.
So
that's so crazy, like, that they're doing like a thing that everyone like hates at the moment. Like, they're actively going, less money is fine. We just want gamers to be happy, and still it's like
gamers
not
of
good
all
enough.
Types, everyone. We want everyone in here. And they're like, no, I'm not buying Cuck Simulator. God. God. Anyway, that's coming out later this year.
Yep.
What's out now though?
Oh yeah,
that we've been playing.
Yep.
Well, there's a few things. Should we do? What do you want to talk about first?
Do we want to do all your guys' bits and pieces, and then we end with the big one?
The big kahuna.
Ben pointed at himself and went, "The big one."
almost in my lap.
Nah.
That's a.
You did like
a big
claw,
mistake.
Like a claw, like you like the crane game.
I was trying to gather Nox and I together.
Ah, right.
Because it's the game that we've played.
We played Detroit. We will talk about that later. We'll talk about the other stuff first.
Detroit Rock City, the long overdue. It's been in development hell for years and years. The game based on the movie.
Oh yes.
8 Mile the game.
we can do other stuff first.
Yeah.
Do you want to kick us off, Nox?
I played Dark Souls Remastered.
Yeah.
Some of that. That is the same game as Dark Souls.
Yes.
But it is on different consoles and running at a different frame rate.
Right.
It's still really good.
Cool.
I still really like that game. But they haven't really done anything to it beyond like resolution and frame rate and stuff, which it didn't really. That's not true. They're sort of back third of that game. They rushed. And so it would have been cool to take this opportunity to fix that.
Right.
And to
like
improve
pacing
it.
Wise and
there's some areas that are just literally copy paste kinda.
Right.
It looks like someone has made a mod or something and just kind of plastered stuff in it. It gets a little bit half hearted towards the end. It loses some of its essence, some of its core, some of its like
spirit,
momentum? Deep kind of
like energy,
personality, some of its I deflated.
But that would have been so sick if it had just gone silent and we ended the episode there. Just you to slow it.
Door opening and closing.
Slow deflating noise.
Like, the worst twist. The door opens like, Mr. Nox, your crazy medication is ready.
What about the other two guys? Mr. Nox, there are no other two guys.
I love that. People listening just a slow deflate sound and then like the next episode that they've got queued up starts playing. Yes. God, how many tweets would we get? Fuck. Guys, first of all.
Yeah, it's still really good. And if one positive thing about it being re-released is that all the multiplayer aspects of it are kind of alive again.
Oh, that's right. Cool. Yeah,
all
that really cool.
The little signs around. And I played it way after the fact originally. So seeing all of that stuff and being able to get involved with that stuff is really cool.
So that's on the Switch.
It's not on the Switch.
Oh,
yet.
Right.
Yet.
It's on the. I'm playing it on the PC, and it's also on the PS4 and the Xbox One.
Right.
But, so it was meant to come out on all of them at the same time. We talked about this a few weeks ago. And right. Just like very suddenly, like very close to release, they were like, "Hey, it's delayed until we don't know when."
Yeah. But a different developer is working on the Switch port, and that'll be at 30 frames, I believe. But I don't think they've confirmed anything yet. But yeah, that'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
I was watching some Donkey videos of it today. Mm. And because I'd never really seen it in action, I was like, this looks cool. I'd like to play this. But also at the same time watching it, and there's certain bits where I'm like, I do not know how this will go on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm playing it with a Switch controller on the PC.
Oh, cool.
Which is weird because I've had to change the buttons around because the A and B are in different places. And my brain has the A on the right. If I'm holding a Switch controller, I can't push the bottom button for A.
Right,
it's odd to realize how ingrained that is. But yeah, it's still really, really great, and it's certainly I just don't think for everyone still, especially because the first sort of 3 hours or so of it are not gentle.
Right.
So it took me a few goes originally to really get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if it scares you off at first. Don't worry, maybe come back to it later.
Sure.
It just takes a little bit of time to kind of get to grips with the kind of bastard that it is.
Okay. Yep.
But, I tried to play Bloodborne.
Yeah.
And I gave it one try. Like I played it for a week on and off, made literally no progress.
Yeah.
And gave up.
I did a similar thing with Dark Souls years ago. And it took two or three kind of retries to really go like, oh, I'm getting this now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into the rhythm. And then at that point, you can kind of not put it down type of thing. It's, it's really, really good.
Right.
And it's like a pretty bare bones remaster, but that game's still great.
Mm.
I also played Bloodstained Curse of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is this
a vampire werewolf game?
No vampires. Or there is a vampire, but it's not. It's so it's the team that is making the Symphony of the Night Castlevania Kickstarter.
Right.
This isn't Castlevania, but it totally is
yes.
thing. This is like an 8-bit, like the original Castlevania games kind of riff.
Yep.
And it's really fucking fun.
Oh. This is one of their stretch goals for that Kickstarter or something like that. Yeah.
It's only $15.
Yep.
It's like quite a short thing. There's like 8 levels or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a little fun little kind of teaser for that of like, and a lot of kind of similar games have come out recently, I suppose, like the sort of 8-bit influenced action game thing. Like it's not far from a Shovel Knight or something like that, but it's super reminiscent. I mean, it is one of those games and it's pretty straightforward, but it's fun. It looks nice. The music's fucking awesome.
Sick.
And you kind of switch between 4 different characters that you end up meeting throughout the thing. And they each have different weapons and different powers. And there's not much to say about it. It's exactly what you would picture it to be from what it looks like. It's an 8-bit style action game.
Yep.
But it's a very fun one of them.
Great.
It's quite cheap and it's made me excited for that next one or the proper one that they're doing.
Right. What did you play it on?
The Switch.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's it? Until the big boy?
Yeah, I guess so. Until the big boy. I don't want to call it the big boy anymore.
Call it Big Ben.
Not worse. Big boy it is.
I played the demo of Sushi Striker on the Switch, which is out in like a week, I think, a bit over a week. It's a little puzzle game on the Switch. I did not know that it was going to have such a crazy story. For anyone who played Puyo Puyo Tetris, that has that like ridiculous story mode where there's like these little anime cutscenes in between each round of puzzle gaming. Mm-hmm. It's like very similar to that, which in the context of a demo is kind of annoying because you know that like when you get the game, you're just going to have to go through all this stuff again. Like for a demo, it's like, just give me some rounds of the puzzle game and let me find out if I like the mechanic of it or not.
Yeah.
But it's coming out on the 3DS at the same time and it's kind of weird. Like it has touchscreen controls. When it's on Switch, you can play it with a controller.
Mm.
But so it's basically these like lines of sushi, these like sushi trains that are going in like alternate directions. So there'll be like 6 tracks and you have to like swipe across the screen and match up different kinds, which then so if you get a big enough combo, like all the plates that the sushi was on end up in front of you, and you can then swipe up to throw these plates of sushi at your opponent and damage them. And they have a health meter that you're trying to deplete. So, like, the bigger stacks of plates that you make, the more damage that you'll do, and you make bigger stacks by, like, getting up different combos. It's cool. Like, it's got a good style. It's a cool little puzzle game. It's, like, matching stuff is always really fun, and it's got this, like, different little mechanic in it that's cool. It's, like, very, like, it's very anime, and it's very, like, kind of, like, Japanese in its presentation. It starts with, like, a crazy Japanese pop song, which is really cool and well done. But, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting the full thing. I do wonder, like, the very nature of, like, your, you know, using these touchscreen controls, it's kind of impossible for your brain not to go, like, kind of mobile game comparison.
Sure.
So I do wonder whether when it comes out, like I'm in and I'm looking forward to getting it and I know I'll enjoy it, but I do wonder if like critically that's going to hurt it when it feels like a kind of a mobile thing and it's coming out at like I think $50 or $60. Like I do wonder if that means that people will I could be wrong on that, but I think it's like a full price release. I think it might be a little bit cheaper actually because it's coming out on the 3DS at the same time.
It sounds like it's maybe better suited to the 3DS too.
I was talking to Andrew Levins about this. He's going to maybe go in on the 3DS version because you get the stylus, which like does give you that different bit of control. I mean, it works. Like, I'm going to get like it comes out like the day before I get a long flight. Yeah. So for sitting on your lap, like in touchscreen, it's like perfect thing for that. But yeah, at home on a screen with a pro controller, I don't know how it'll go. I'm sure there'll be people that probably prefer that way. But but that being said, like the using your finger to like link up all the sushi and then like chucking plates at people, like it does feel really fun on that little screen, and the style of it is really great. But I mean, I've only played a demo. I'm excited for it now. I was already looking forward to it, but it's just kind of confirmed the good feelings that I had.
I accidentally touched the Switch's screen in handheld mode the other day, and that reminded me that this thing has a touch screen.
Yep. Yeah,
I'd completely forgotten, and then like when I touched it, a button push, and I was like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
It's good for typing stuff on.
Yes.
Like, any way to skip a console's key, like on-screen keyboard, is fucking
not the PS4's one. I don't like using the little.
Oh no, that's awful.
Swiper boy.
No, that's what he means. That's, like Oh, you mean the thing where you
the touchpad on the PS4 controller? Using that.
No, that's bad. If it was literally a touch screen, that'd be great.
Yeah,
and then that's what is great about the Switch.
Or the thing where you like aim the controller.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Nintendo shooting the letters.
No, they should make something where it has the TV and then like a touch screen that you're holding at the same time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be if they did that.
Yeah,
if they like, you know, made it like the Switch but better.
Yes. Yeah,
the Switch us or something.
Yeah.
Switch me. And if they had like, you could do a Star Fox game on that where like the screen is kind of behind you but then you're like in the cockpit on the thing. And they should make it dog shit.
This is stupid, but before you made the mental comparison of it to a mobile game, I was in, and now I'm thinking of it as a mobile game, I'm out.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know you don't like mobile games, but I mean, it's weird because it has like a story and there's stuff happening. So it kind of, I mean, if it was a mobile game, and it's hard to get a sense of like the full package in just the demo.
Yeah.
But for me, like the mechanics of the actual, you know, puzzling itself.
Yeah.
I'm really into.
Sounds more like just like a slot machine to me, like a slot machine kind of spinning them around, but you draw the sevens between them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, right.
There are other things that kind of come into it. Like you can slow down some of the tracks. You have like a little helper who you acquire all these different things. It's kind of got these RPG elements to it where you acquire different things that give you different powers in the match. So there's like a meter that you build up, and the result of getting to the end of the meter is different for each of these little like kind of helpers that you equip to yourself. So some of them, it's like the one I had was you touch it and he turns all of the sushi on your end into the one color.
Oh yeah.
So then you can just really quickly like get this huge combo like by just zigzagging across the screen.
Right.
And I played a little bit with the controller and it does do a pretty good job of moving. It's not like you're aiming a cursor. It's just like you lock on one and then it like shows you the line and you just like go bang and like
that's smart. Okay.
So it does actually work pretty well, but yeah.
I was going to ask you about kind of imagining like a Destiny pointer or whatever, yeah, just like yeah, moving a cursor with your mouse. But that makes a lot more sense to select one and then it shows you a path to the others.
Yeah, yeah. If you just decided that you were going to use the controller, you could still get good at it pretty quickly.
Right.
Like it's not like, it does feel like pretty intuitively, but like it seems like you've sort of got to make the call like when you're going in. I'm either just going to play this in handheld or I'm just going to exclusively play it on the TV and get good with the controller.
And this must be like a 3DS game that got transitioned at some point over to Switch. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right.
So, I mean, that's a big part of it. And I'm glad that for any like kind of hiccups with maybe it gets a bit of a weird ride with reviews or whatever, I'm glad that they're kind of doing that instead of just like looking at this thing and why are they still supporting the goddamn 3DS?
Yep.
Why can't I play this fun
puzzle
game?
Exactly. The weirder thing is that all those other 3DS games aren't coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
Fucking WarioWare I would love to play WarioWare on the Switch. Hopefully it means they're working on a new one for it.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably what it means, yeah. Because that's like a best of thing, but yeah.
What was the other one you said you played?
Okay, so I played. Oh, yeah. It just came out today, so I've spent not much time with it at all. But it's called Yoku's Island Express. It's Team 17 who made Worms, and it's been in development for a little while now. It's on the Switch and the PS4, and so that probably means Steam as well. I could be wrong, but so it's a 2D platformer. With a twist.
Oh, yes. Favorite kind.
I love twists. I love the Watusi.
Now, would that be female Wario if they ever do such a
Watusi? Watusi.
That would be sick.
Fuck.
So it's a platformer crossed with a pinball machine. So you play this little bug who's made his way to an island to become the new postman.
Okay.
He is in like a storm on the way there and he's like his ship kind of disintegrates and he wakes up and he's like on the beach tethered to this giant pebble. So you can move him and then you basically get into all these areas where there's flippers that you control with the left and right triggers.
Yeah.
And they're color-coded. And so you have these little kind of platform mechanics where you sort of have to like make your way through and there's like pickups that you collect around the place. And so it's like you'll need 30 of this one thing to kind of hit this switch, which then opens up a new flipper. So now you can propel yourself up to a bit that you couldn't before.
Right.
So you go around, you do these little chores for people and you discover like these like people who go, we need you to do this or can you come and do this?
If I had a chore that needed done, if I had a task that I needed to make sure that happened, I wait until a bug attached to a rock came along and I go, you seem trustworthy.
But yeah, it's kind of a nice mix between these kind of platforming levels where you're propelling yourself around using these flippers and there's bumpers and everything that you bounce off.
Right.
And then every now and then you will end up in a section that is basically just a one screen pinball table that you have something that you have to fulfill on that screen, like, you know, hit this thing four times or end up getting yourself around this tunnel and going back up. But it's got this really beautiful style to it. It's kind of like this watercolory sort of look. It kind of looks like it could have been made by Nintendo themselves. It's got a really charming aesthetic, really nice music. And I'm very early on in it, but I've never played anything quite like it. It's such a unique kind of take on a platformer, and like I love pinball machines, so just that thing of like hitting the left trigger and then like all of the blue things that are on the screen at that time, all of them going off.
Yeah.
Like when you get into the rhythm of it and it's kind of difficult to begin with because takes you a while to get out of an area because you're still kind of learning the thing of like I have to wait for him to roll right down onto the edge of the flipper. But once you kind of get in sync with that, it gets pretty satisfying pretty quickly.
Yeah, cool.
And it seems like it's a pretty decently sized platforming game with like lots of different areas to unlock as you get more of these little gems and stuff, and you know, you're fulfilling these little quests and there's like side quests in there. It's really cool. It's really interesting.
Awesome. This sounds good.
Yeah.
I really recommend it. Even though it grabbed me like immediately within 2 minutes, I was like, God, this is absolutely my shit.
Oh, cool.
I'm in love. Like, yeah, it's awesome. Really, really good.
Yeah, great.
Got such a supple wrist.
Pardon?
It's a pinball.
Yeah,
supple wrist.
Yeah, he's such a supple wrist.
So how does he do it?
Yeah.
I don't know. What makes him so good?
What?
He's singing Pinball Wizard.
Oh, my God. I was like, are you having a meltdown or am I having a meltdown? Because I do not know what's going on. But yeah, Yoko's Island Express, check it out. Yeah, sick. Really, really good.
Awesome. Well, that's the end of the episode. Wait a minute. There's one more thing.
A few good games. Now let's talk about Detroit Become Human.
So this is the Become Human?
Oh, that's Love Gun. Sorry.
Yes, it is. Become Human.
I said it and then I was like, it can't be that. That's too bland.
I was telling a coworker today about the game and I was like, it's called Detroit Become Human. It's about these androids who want to become human. Oh,
I've got some apologies to make.
Yeah. Just ran down the road.
By the time you had that realization, you realized your coworker had just walked off long ago.
Had bashed me and stolen my lunch money.
So we won't spoil this, we should say straight away, because this is only narrative, basically.
Yes,
this game.
And I'm only about a third of the way through, I think. Yeah.
I've finished it once.
Yep.
But it's a choose your own adventure movie.
Yes.
So there's multiple endings, and I got, you know, one variant of it.
Sure.
I don't know where to start with it.
Same, right? Like, so if you don't know anything about it, it's a game by David Cage. He made Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls, was it called?
Yeah, Quantic Dream is the name of the studio, which going into this as well, there's some shit about like, oh, maybe that's not that great of a place to work for. Maybe David Cage is a bit of an ass.
Ah, yes.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah.
They have made like a few games. Omicron the Nomad Soul was the first one, which had David Bowie in it.
Yeah.
Fahrenheit PS2.
Yep.
And then Heavy Rain was their like big breakout hit.
People Beyond were like, it's a grown-up game for grown-ups.
Yes. There's a murder in this game.
And a nudity.
Oh, love that. Love that 3D PS2 titty.
Yep.
Is that the game that has the sequence where you're like being chased?
Yes.
And like it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Jason, so good.
The Jason scene.
No, the bit where like there's a bit in Heavy Rain where you're as the detective in it.
Oh, yes.
Where you can chase, you have to chase after this person. But the way it works and the way all of these do is you're playing either kind of a slow walk around thing where you can't really walk around that well, and you can make your character just looks drunk all the time.
Totally. It's fixed camera angles, and the directions you walk in are relevant to those camera angles.
Yeah.
So as soon as it switches angles, you're walking in the wrong direction. It's fucking awful.
And even if you're not, like, trying to maneuver into a small area is just difficult because they have some like weight to some curvature to how their movement happens. So it looks really goofy for a game that takes itself so fucking seriously.
Did you ever play a game and there's something in it that makes you think the person who made this hates people who play video games?
Yes.
Like,
this
fucking idiot.
It's 100% because this is closer to a DVD where you're having to press play again and again.
Yeah.
Or else, because if you stop, like, so it'll either be that and like motions where you move the right stick to do most of them, which is fucking stupid because that controls the camera as well.
Yes.
So you're trying to do something like pick something up and it doesn't register it half the time and just looks up, which is insane.
Yep.
This is the best. Often it's like, this game.
It's like stick up and around, but you've just moved slightly past it with the camera angle. So now you've just made your character look up and around.
Yeah. It's the weirdest. And then
I hate both of you and I love this game.
Flips between that or sort of quick time events where like hit circle quickly.
Your classic Telltale game, which they do it a lot better.
Yeah, so the Heavy Rain thing, it's a perfect example of why I'm sort of enamored with this game though.
Yeah.
Because that sequence in Heavy Rain is you're chasing after somebody and they're like throwing ice cubes in your way in like this market and like opening crates of chickens and all this stuff. Like, and if you miss all of the button prompts, you keep chasing them.
Yes.
But you just keep getting knocked into shit and tripping over, and it's the most Naked Gun bullshit.
Yes.
And it's so funny because this game, much like Heavy Rain did, takes itself so drearily seriously.
Yes. Yeah, look it up on YouTube if you haven't seen it. I've never played the game and
Heavy Rain chase sequence or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
But so this game, same as the others.
Yep. That's the gameplay. That is it. It's either awkward moving around point and click adventure style, but worse because you can't point or click.
Yeah.
Or quick time events.
I thought this fucking pinball game was awkward to control. It sounds like a breeze.
Yeah.
It kind of plays out in a linear fashion, but with choke points where you can splinter off to some extent.
Yep.
But it's Telltale-ish in the way that a lot of what can change is usually
cosmetic.
Yeah, not massive.
Yeah.
There are bits where it does change a lot of stuff. Characters can die.
Yes.
Things can shift, and that's cool in concept.
Yep.
But the big problem that that places on it narratively is like, okay, so if there are 60 different possible options, not all of them are going to hold the same weight or be as good as each other.
Yeah.
Or for this game that is trying to deal with thematic shit, not all of them are going to have something to say.
Yep.
At best.
Yep.
Even the best ones maybe aren't saying what they have to say in a particularly clever way.
Sure, either. Or they might be completely discounted by the fact that it has to funnel back into a different story path.
Yeah, so you go into these three different... There's three characters who you play as.
Yep.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Marcus?
Marcus is one of them. Kara,
yep.
And Connor.
Yep.
So kind of a cop, a maid, and like a servant guy for someone else. It's in the future where... androids are basically like iPhones. Everyone's got an Android.
Yep.
The whole premise, like from a point of view of this being a sci-fi story, it's dog shit.
Yeah.
This is a terrible science fiction story.
It is. It's Blade Runner done poorly.
Yeah.
There's no consistency to any of like this sci-fi world that it has.
Yep.
It's set 20 years in the future and all of these androids who look and act exactly like humans.
Exactly.
People are like, that's not a human.
Yeah.
Definitely not. And I know that they're trying to say, like, maybe the racism we've had in the real world, they were obviously humans. Like, it's so different.
Yeah.
It's because it's everyone and everywhere, and it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's all these people walking down the street just throwing their shopping at their Android, being like, pick up my apple, you cunt.
Yeah.
That's such an old school approach to sci-fi, too. It's like,
yes.
Sci-fi films used to be set not that far in the future and, like, have, like, robots and all this crazy shit where it's like 1981, and they're like, by 1999, all of this stuff will be happening. And you sort of don't see that now because we've learned. It's like, okay, we got to set this minimum 100 years in the future. Like,
right.
20 years is like wild.
20 years is wild, and it's not, none of the anger is justified in any way. It is like someone being like, hey, someone just gave me an iPhone that does all of my work for me.
Yeah.
And I also like don't need to do anything outside of that. It's really helpful. Yeah. It's nice. It's friendly. I hate it.
So
I hate it and I resent it and I want it to die.
The reason that they give for most of the animosity towards the androids is joblessness.
Right.
People are unemployed because the androids are doing the jobs now.
Except it's given Detroit like an industry back. That's also a big point of the story.
It has, and their anger about their unemployment is not directed at the capitalist system which they are existing in. It's directed at these androids. Like, it's this fucking pack of idiots who don't... It's so blatantly set up to represent racism rather than to exist within this sci-fi world.
Totally. It's going like, you don't like how immigrants come and take your jobs, do you?
Yeah.
But that's all it's saying.
And the first, like, half hour or so of it, when you first play as Marcus...
Yeah.
This is towards the start of the game, so I don't count this as a spoiler, but if you want nothing, then you will get nothing from it. But
I think if you want nothing, it's a weird game worth giving a shot if you have the money to spare. But otherwise, I don't know.
I even if you have the money to spare, I would say this game is worth the price that you would pay for it if it was a season of a show on a DVD.
Yeah, okay,
which is effectively what it is.
Yeah. Anyway,
but so that first sort of half hour, when you're Marcus, he's like going out and getting paint for his owner. And you're like, you see this protest of people go like, no more androids, fuck off androids.
Yep.
And they just get up in your face in the most cartoonish way, like, you think you're an android, do you? Won't be so robotic when you're on the ground and push you over.
Yeah.
This game sounds good as hell.
They don't literally say that.
I love this.
But the dialogue is almost exactly that. There are several points during this game where it's so poorly written that I laughed, like a hearty laugh.
Yeah. There's a character, this is again not a spoiler, a character who treats androids poorly, and an android goes, you think I look like a monster? Maybe the human is the real monster.
Yeah. It's insane.
And that is almost the actual dialogue.
The fucking android
game
is
year.
Forced to get on the back of the bus.
Yes.
This
right
is
going to
be
start.
My game of the year. I'm not even going to play it or watch any footage of it whatsoever.
So having said that, as a sci-fi story, it's dog shit. The characters are ridiculous, blah, blah, blah.
The gameplay is annoying.
The world is silly. The
politics is
bad.
Shallow and terrible.
And the story is at best nonsensical.
Yes.
At worst, it's like aggressively pointless
and offensive in its politics.
I love this game.
Yeah.
genuinely, been, like, unironically, yeah. I think this game is fucking sick.
It's been a wild week in our group chat watching you guys start to play the game and go back and forth, like really wrestle with, really, really wrestle with your thoughts on this game.
I never got swept up in the stuff with The Room.
Right.
I always thought it was just a bad movie and it was kind of sad.
Yeah. Right.
It always just made, I was never able to laugh at it because it made me feel bad.
Yeah.
But this has so much money put into it and so much ego.
Yes.
Clearly, it's so smug that watching it fail again and again and again in the most massive and expensive looking way is so satisfying. Yeah. And then it, as a, like a pulpy kind of story, I got invested in it.
So I'm starting to get invested in it. Yeah.
Some of the acting is pretty good.
A day ago, I would have said all of those criticisms and left it at that. Today, I'm like, it's starting to get me.
See, it's a roller coaster.
There was a point, and it took me about 11 hours to finish it, something like that, about a season of a show.
Yeah. Right.
And by like the fourth hour, which is probably about where you're up to, I was like, oh, yeah, sick.
Yeah, because stuff, really stupid stuff starts to happen.
It's crazy. And you get to make pretty big decisions about it and drive it in this way. It has some of the thing of like LA Noir, where sometimes it's got like the one word conversation things.
Yes.
And you'll be like, oh, I guess I want to say notebook. And they'll go like, where's my fucking notebook? Yes. Like, oh, well, that's not the tone I assumed it was going to have.
Yes. Yes.
Do you think it's going to be like, you compared it to The Room, like he's going to come out in like a month's time and be like, yeah, it's meant to be stupid. It's meant to be fucked. I did this all deliberately.
It's getting good reviews.
Right.
It's got like 8 out of 10s. People are liking it.
Because it's presented very well.
It's visually amazing. One of the best games I've played in terms of visuals.
It's incredible.
The interfaces look good, if not like feel good necessarily.
Yeah, the detail is fucking insane. Like it looks maybe the best out of any video game. I would have said that about God of War a month ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is just like, it looks incredible. Except for when any characters smile. Which thankfully they don't have cause to very often because it's a depressing game. But
I think the voice acting is good.
Yeah.
I think it's probably,
Unlike the acting. The sort of police partner I thought was great. And the whole police storyline was my favorite.
Yeah.
But it's so weird.
It's so dumb in so many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is this fucking like overblown self-assuredness that it has.
You said, I don't know if we said it yet, self-serious.
It's completely self-serious.
It's self-serious,
And it doesn't have any awareness of its faults.
Yes.
Which are plentiful. Like
it's going like, look at me, but it's got its pants down. Like it's
completely.
It's that.
Completely.
Yeah. It's like Adam Knox on the first night at Comedy Festival. Yes.
I heard a comparison. Yes. This isn't me, but I think this is perfect. It's watching a rich, stuffy billionaire slip on banana peels constantly again and again. And he keeps getting up and going like, bah, 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 nobody laugh. And then slips on another banana peel. It's that. And it's really fucking engaging.
Yeah. Right.
And but the faults are just so glaring, like for something that is basically talking about racism the whole time. It exists. It seems to exist in an alternate universe where genuine racism never really happened. There's one reference to it from one character who is essentially Harriet Tubman.
Right.
And she's like, you know, my people went through something similar a while back, but no one else is going to talk about that even once during this story.
Yeah.
There's like news on TV all the time, like that sort of kind of half-assed world building of like having a news channel on in the corner being like World War III maybe.
Yes.
And the news never goes like, all this Android stuff pretty similar to they're asking for civil rights. Has that happened before?
We put them on in the back of the bus literally.
Yeah.
Weird that this is happening again.
There's no comparison to it, but like and also like there's parts of it where the gaminess of it is at odds with what it's trying to portray.
Yes, so like, so we talked a bit about it off air, Knox. That like, and I think you mentioned it to Tommy as well in the group chat. There's domestic violence in this game
early on.
It's serious.
It's literally your. It literally brings up a prop saying mash circle.
Yes,
and the, like that. If you were making a joke about video games, that would be.
What was it? It was press X to mourn. Wasn't it?
Pay respect.
Yeah. It's that, but worse.
It's like, it's really silly, but it's part of what, at like every single part of this dumb roller coaster it's like being on a roller coaster that you feel safe on, but it's falling apart around you. Like, yeah. I can't believe they built this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It sounds like a hell of an experience.
It's also crazy to me that it is getting majority very positive reviews.
Right.
I don't know what I would rate it if I had to give it a number. Because in terms of my enjoyment with it, I enjoyed it and found it more engrossing than any game this year other than God of War.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
It really got its dumbass hooks into me for no reason that it intended. Like, so this is telling, again, this isn't a spoiler, I don't think. There's a survey that you can do optionally at the end of the game. Yeah. And it's nothing to do with sort of what happens in the game, but there's just some questions of like, it is, but it's not directly. But there's questions early on of like, if it happened, do you think you'd ever consider a relationship with an android? Do you think that technology could be a threat to human beings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Questions like that. And then towards the end, it goes like, did any of the events in Detroit Become Human resonate with you personally? And you can either say most of them, occasionally it happened, once, or no.
Yep. Yeah.
It tells you the percentage of what other people have voted.
Right.
87% of people went, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And I think they're right.
Yeah, less as the game went on.
Yeah,
like
it's so weird. But I genuinely ended up enjoying the pace of it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
The kind of the rollicking nature builds up. Rollicking isn't the right word, but it ends up having this kind of. You want to see where it all goes.
It's a page turner. It's a Dan Brown page turner.
Totally, and you end up feeling ownership over your choices.
Right, right.
Even if they are. You know, by the nature of what it is, to some extent, surface level for a lot of them, but some of them aren't. Mm. You do end up, you know, being invested in that and knowing that you can fuck up.
Yeah,
is cool.
I think my main issue, apart from the awful story and politics and social commentary, is all of the like move the stick right to wash the bench.
Yeah.
Get rid of all of that and I'd be much more endeared to this game much more quickly.
So that's what I was about to ask. Would you enjoy... Do you think you would enjoy it more or as much if it was like literally just a TV show? Or would you have watched the pilot and gone, fuck this, this is stupid?
I would have gone, fuck this because... Oh, it depends.
It's
so tied into what it is. It has to have those options.
Right.
It has to be able to fall apart in those weird, dumb ways that like shouldn't have been able to happen. Like... And it's basically, it might be better if it was just like Dragon's Lair.
Yes.
Where a circle popped up sometimes and you had to hit it.
Yeah.
Right.
But it does make you, and for like, I understand that you're doing those and it's meant to feel boring and laborious.
Right.
But it's not fun to do still.
Yeah.
Like, if your point is to get across of like, look, you're being a servant, huh? Doesn't this feel bad? It's like, yeah, of course it does.
Yeah. Why do I have to do it 5 times? You've really rubbed it in now.
Yeah. And like, exactly. It's the same with everything where every message that it's trying to send is so bludgeoning you over the head that they're not effective because they aren't saying, it's not got anything complicated to say as well.
I genuinely think the ham-handed way in which it adds those superficial gameplay elements to those messages minimizes the seriousness of the messages.
Well, and it's just they're all just the most base level interpretation of that stuff as well. It's like, man, we're all literally indentured servants.
Yeah.
We have to literally revolt, maybe.
Yes.
And it's all so it's not metaphorical. Like, it's a metaphor in the sense that they're androids instead of humans.
Right.
But whatever.
The commentary can be boiled down to, like, press X to have a revolution.
Exactly, yeah. Press circle if racism bad.
Yes.
Square, square, square.
I love that it's like, oh, it's a game where you get to make these big choices and then one of those choices is literally having you fill out a survey. Like, that's so funny.
I don't know, man. Yeah, don't buy it at full price.
Right.
Yeah. Because it... as much as you can go back and replay it for different endings and whatever, I don't think there's any real chance of me doing that for several years.
I think it's too tedious to play for me to do that because I've done it with Telltale games.
I want to go through with someone else.
Yeah, right.
I want to watch somebody else do it.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
But again, if it weren't for this show, I wouldn't have paid $80 for it.
We could try and do like a let's play of it at some point when we get off our fat keisters and stuff.
I don't know, man. It's so weird and I love it and it's terrible.
6 out of 10.
I guess, yeah, it's such an aberration. It's such a different type of thing to most games. Like,
it's so high in production values. Like,
it's incredible.
It's, if Telltale Games looked like this, they'd be the best games.
Yeah right.
It can't follow through on any of the ideas that are in its design document other than good graphics.
Yes.
Right.
But it's endearing about it.
Yeah.
And the acting is really good.
Yeah, I do
like
it. For
the most part. Not really good, but it's portrayed so well in being turned from humans into graphics.
Yes.
Whatever that
motion capture.
In the capture of it, is
there are
it's
scenes.
It's really effective.
Especially the cop scenes. I think these are the best ones because they are so tropey and so visually, you know, well executed. You feel like you're watching, at some points, a good cop show.
A Sci-Fi Channel original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's that sort of thing. And I think the guy who plays the cop guy, Connor.
Clancy Brown.
Connor.
Yeah, right.
Connor is
the young guy,
the best android out of the three.
Sure.
I think. Yeah. Kara is also good. I like both of them. I wasn't into Marcus.
Yeah.
But I won't talk about it in specifics, but some of the shit it does with the sci-fi element of it especially is awful. It makes no internal sense.
Right.
It's got no fucking consistency to it at all. It would have been challenged. People would have gone like, oh, this doesn't make sense with this. And you could almost hear fucking David Cage going like, who cares?
Right.
It's about racism. Don't you get it?
Yeah, sure.
We fucking get it, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, it's a funny old life.
That's what they should have called it.
Well, I guess we got to wrap.
No, yeah, no. This is. Just one other thing I want to say. There's one part on a news channel where they go like, the first Android written novel has been published today. Oh, it's a pretty crazy one. It's called Do Humans Dream of Sheep?
Oh my God.
It's something like that. It's that. It's Do Humans Dream of Biological Sheep, I almost think it's called.
Oh God.
It's incredible.
The most fucking,
it's literally a bad version of Blade Runner.
It is this joke of a script that they have put $300 million into.
Yeah,
that's
it
so good.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Crazy.
I'm keen to hear what our listeners thought of it if you played it.
I genuinely mean it when I say that I really enjoyed it and like it, but it's bad.
God, yeah, I'd love to hear what people think of this game, and that's the one bit of feedback on this episode that I am looking forward to getting. All right, we got to wrap it up for another week. Some good reviews in there, some interesting stuff. let us know what you've been playing.
Mm.
We will be back next week with E3 predictions.
Yes, we will.
That's very exciting. And then
E3 is the week after that.
E3 is the week after that, it's all happening. Nice. So guys, get on the socials and stuff. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to our live show tickets, all the social medias and stuff like that. Keep in touch. We love hearing from you guys. Thank you for joining us. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
bonjour video de matin, I think.
Very nice.
Should be bonsoir.
It'd be bonjour. Bonjour. Bonjour.
Bon Scott.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.